Across from them were Pleasantville Shoes, Gay Paris Fashions, Hair Today, and the Gem Theater. "Come in, it's cool inside," said the banner hanging from the bottom of the marquee. Roland raised a hand, motioning Eddie and Jake across to that side of the street. It was there, if all went as he hoped, it almost never did, that they would set their ambush. They crossed in a crouch, Oi still scurrying at Jake's heel. So far, everything seemed to be working like a charm, and that made the gunslinger nervous indeed. 16. Any battle-seasoned general will tell you that even in a small-scale engagement, as this one was, there always comes a point where coherence breaks down and narrative flow and any real sense of how things are going. These matters are recreated by historians later on. The need to recreate the myth of coherence may be one of the reasons why history exists in the first place. Never mind. We have reached that point, the one where the Battle of Algolciento took on a life of its own. And all I can do now is point here and there and hope you can bring your own order out of the general chaos. 17. Trampas, the eczema-plagued low man who inadvertently let Ted in on so much, rushed to the stream of breakers who were fleeing from Damley House and grabbed one, a scrawny ex-carpenter with a receding hairline named Bertie McCann. "Bertie, what is it?" Trampas shouted. He was currently wearing his thinking cap, which meant he could not share in the telepathic pulse all around him. "What's happening? Do you know?" "Shooting!" Bertie yelled, pulling free. "Shooting! They're out there!" He pointed vaguely behind him. "Who? How m—" "Watch out, you idiots! It's not slowing down!" yelled Gaski Otego from somewhere behind Trampas and McCann.